This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathirin kathirin. From my father, my brothers and sisters, a friend of mine asked me the other day, we were doing the seminar on leadership. And I mentioned that Rasulullah prohibited us from seeking authority and seeking positions of leadership. And he said that if you go hunting for it, if you ask for it, then you will be on your own and Allah will not help you and Allah will hold you accountable. But if Allah gives it to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and Allah will guide you. So he asked me a good question. He said, what about, for example, if I have a business, I'm trying to promote my product or services, or, these kind of things. I mean, I'm talking about myself. So is that permissible or not? So let me share with you the hadith. In Tirmidhi, there is a hadith, Sahih hadith, narrated by Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah said, two hungry wolves sent against a flock of sheep cannot cause more damage to them than a man's eagerness for wealth and prominence, wealth and fame and authority causes to his religious commitment. So let me repeat that. Rasulullah said, Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, two hungry wolves sent against a flock of sheep cannot cause more damage to them than a man's eagerness for wealth and prominence or authority causes to his religious commitment. Now, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that Rasulullah explained that the damage that eagerness for wealth, greed, and prominence, which is authority and leadership positions, fame, causes to one's religious commitment damage which is more than that the two hungry wolves would cause in a sheep pen. And this is obvious. Now, if there is sound religious commitment, then there cannot be this eagerness, because once the heart tastes the sweetness of servitude, of being a slave of Allah and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will be nothing dearer to the individual than that, and he will give it precedence over other things. Now, it's very important to understand these things in context, because today we live in a world which is the opposite of this. We live in a world where canvassing for votes and standing for election and trying to get the attention of people in one way or the other, all of this is normal. It is done, everybody does it, and people think that this is nothing wrong with this. But Rasulullah is saying here, in another place, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if somebody asks for imamat, do not give it to him. If somebody says, I want to lead salah, don't give him. If someone says, I want to give the khutbah, don't give him. For that reason. Because he is seeking this. Right? If Allah gives it to you, meaning, so therefore, what must you do? You must do your best. Do your best, do your work. And let results speak for themselves. And if through that means, meaning that the work that you do, then people recognize you, people respect you and so on, and then they ask you to lead them or to give you a leadership position, this is okay, inshallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and guide you. But not if you run behind that. Right? See, if you think about the damage that this seeking of leadership, this running behind what in Arabic we call sulta, which is authority, right? to become a sultan is somebody who has authority, who has become a king. If you see the right from the beginning of the history of the Muslims, this is the single thing which has caused unbelievable amount of damage. Right from the beginning, within 30 years of the passing away of Rasulullah, there were battles between Muslims for what? For authority, for power, for the throne. And nobody was spared. Nobody was spared. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he was killed. This is one of the greatest of the Sahaba of Rasulullah. Sayyidina Ali was killed radiallahu anhu. Right? All of them shaheed. And in that period, between Sayyidina Uthman and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the kind of massacre that happened in Medina, it almost wiped out the Sahaba of Rasulullah. The Sahaba of Rasulullah, they chopped off their hands and legs and they just threw the body, the living torsos, on the rocks, on the lava plains of on one side of Medina. Living bodies. With the Sahaba. Who did this? Muslims. Muslims did this. For what? For power. They forced Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to become the Khalifa. He said, I don't want to be. He said, they said, if you don't be, then we will kill more people. So they forced him. And then he also was shaheed. And this continued. The next line, after Sayyidina Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu passed away and his son Yazid bin Muawiyah took over, the grandson of Rasulullah, Sayyidina Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he and his whole family was slaughtered, including a little child who was still nursing. His son who was small, he was still nursing. Even he was killed. The idea was to wipe out the complete line so that there is no claimant to the throne. And they didn't think that this line is the line of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And see the evil of that. Because of this, it created the Shia-Sunni divide. In those days, there was no Shia. That came later. But this was the reason that created the Shia-Sunni divide, which is there till today. Yeah, Ajib, 1400 years, we are still fighting over a battle which is gone long back. How evil is this desire for power? How evil is the desire for power? And the same thing applies. You look again in the Muslims, the dynasties, the Mughals, the Safavids, the Osmanis, the Ottomans, right? You take any dynasty. Brother killing brother, son killing father. This is standard Muslim behavior with regard to authority and kingdoms. And it's not restricted to one. You can't say only the Arabs did. No, everybody did. The Arabs did it, the Turks did it, the Indians did it, everyone did it. Muslims. And that is what Rasulullah ﷺ warned us against. He said, don't seek power. Don't seek fame. Do your work. Hasan Basri rahmatullah said, the most fortunate, the luckiest person in the world is the one who was born, who grew up, who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quietly by himself. Nobody knew him. He had no name, no fame, nothing. He lived his life clean and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he died and nobody knew that also. He said, that man is the best man. He's the most lucky, most fortunate man. So I remind myself and you, let us do the work of deen. Let us help each other. Let us try to spread goodness around us. and don't seek position and authority and all. Do your work. Continue to do your work. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to put you in a particular place, Allah will break the way for that. Let Allah do it. And if you get that, then you must spend time in istighfar and tawbah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says that the entire duration of his khilafah, he never lay down to sleep, not even one day. He would sleep sitting or he would sleep even standing. He would lean against a wall like this and doze off. He never lay down. He said, I had no time because I am busy working or I am making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the fear of being the Khalifa. No desire for wealth and his garment, the clothes he used to wear, it got so patchy, it had so many patches in it, that one day some of the other Sahaba, they brought some cloths and they gave it to his daughter Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha. And they said, don't tell our name to your father. Said, don't tell him who gave this, but give this to him so he can make a new, shirt for himself, a thobe. So when Sayyidah Hafsa radiallahu anha gave him the cloth, he asked her, who brought this? Who gave it? She said, no, I cannot tell you. I gave them my word. So he asked her, he said, tell me, how did your husband dress? Who is her husband? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked her, he said, how did your husband dress? What was his dress like? He said, I am afraid that if I change this, if I make a new thing, then Allah will not allow me to be with my two companions when I am raised before Allah. Who are his two companions? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. He said, that's my fear. If I do this, then maybe Allah will not allow me to be with them. Now, this is a different level of taqwa, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying you have to wear clothes which are tattered. No, alhamdulillah, Allah has given you good, wear good. And make sugar and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are standards for us to think about and say, this is how people who had authority, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa of Islam, under whose rule Islam spread all the way from Medina all the way up to Jordan, to Philistine. Philistine was in his time. Philistine was relieved and of course those days Aqsa was not there yet, but it was Jerusalem itself was Al-Quds liberated and conquered. And that was the Khalifa. A man came to see him. They said, where is the Khalifa? He said, there under the trees, sitting there, dozing off. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to learn from these beautiful, fantastic examples that we have in our history. And to learn to do that which pleases Him. And to live our lives in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to stay far away from all of this, the attractions of this dunya. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.